The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So a question submitted, and and read all submissions, only getting to some, but it's helpful to hear what's on your mind. So this is the question. So some of the standard techniques of practicing self-compassion, like soft belly practice, or holding one's negative self-talk like your own injured child, while very likely wise medicine, those approaches don't land naturally for me. The sister concept of self-forgiveness falls under the same category. While I would love but don't expect a quick start to self-compassion for the self-flagellating egomaniac that I can sometimes be, might you speak to best wise practices for self-compassion, self-forgiveness? Thank you for all the teachings, wisdom. So in in all of practice, but maybe heart realm especially, we need to improvise and find our own way. And the line between beautiful, potent, skillful means and super cheesy Hallmark card love is very thin. That line is very thin, you know? And so we got to patrol that line. Find things that feel natural. And so a provocative first question, but the questioner, whoever they are, sounds very much like they can handle it. But question would be something like, what do you love about your self-hate? You love something about it. What psychological functions does it have? What ways does it serve to soothe yourself? Like, actually, self-hatred can be self-soothing. What regulatory function does it have in the moment? And the self-harshness may be genuinely painful, no doubt is genuinely painful, but actually might be less painful than the alternative. And what alternative is actually more painful for you? That would be the investigation. Self-hatred may be sometimes easier than the recognition, oh, I have limitations, foibles, things I don't do well. Maybe it's easier than just kind of the unadulterated pain of the First Noble Truth. Self-hatred sometimes easier than the recognition of anicca. This is not governable by will. Grandiosity and self-hatred are sometimes two sides of the same coin. And this is not a way of you know, compounding the self-harshness, blaming yourself for the harshness, but investigating what's the kind of soothing underbelly of some of these habits. And the encouragement is to find your ordinariness. Find your ordinariness. I wonder if maybe you're glancing off the experience of suffering. Generally, we meditators don't, we know, okay, dukkha, 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 get it, yeah, yeah. But we don't linger long enough with dukkha. And we touch it and we realize, okay, that's not good. We encourage ourselves to be allowing, okay. And then we get out of town. But we have to, you know, we hear, well, this path is about the freedom from suffering, right? That can kind of aid and abet our aversion. We have to soak into the suffering, really soak into it. And I have a lot of trust that if we meet the first noble truth fully, the last three truths become self-evident. Carol Wilson said, if the first noble truth sounds depressing, you're not understanding it. And so linger, stay. Notice all the kind of energies that shoot out of the mind as you linger, kind of like a fire hose, you know, it's malfunctioning, shooting everywhere. We just practice staying. Faith has a supporting condition, I say, the Buddha says. Faith has a supporting condition. It does not lack a supporting condition. And what is the supporting condition for faith? The answer should be suffering. So maybe your heart needs to break more before the rest of you can fall in. The tricky part about self-compassion is that it can. It's not that it must, but it can keep us in the self game. And everyone loses in that game. Live by the ego and die by it. And to enter debate about self-worth is already to lose. The nature of self in its doubt. Doubt is not ground to stand on. There can always be new evidence, and that new evidence can require a rewrite of the story of self. So it's a precarious position. It's that kind of unstable ground from which to build a life. Megan Cowan says, the deeper facets of conditioning do not surrender easily. You cannot simply presence them to death. They are waiting to be educated by true nature. This requires inner communication, not spiritual battles. If you fight, you will lose. You know that already. What story of the self is most in need of equanimity and is most in need of being educated by goodness? Deepen your confidence in love. And when you develop a kind of faith in love, the self is just details. Who cares, really? You really don't have to believe in anything else. And faith in love doesn't mean some fantasy that everything works out fine. It means that love will give meaning no matter what unfolds. And the Dharma path, as I often say, is characterized by a growing sensitivity to goodness, progressive sensitization to goodness. And we detect goodness in all sorts of places, inside us, outside us, cares where. When you develop faith in love, you begin to partake in that love, know its blessing. The self becomes a kind of besides the point. Don't hole up in the house of self and try to do surgery on your self-hate. You have to maybe try something new, be something new, relinquish something new. The riddle of the stuck place, Ajahn Sucitto said, is that it's something that we can't negotiate in our ordinary no mode of operating. If it could be done by me, it wouldn't be that which goes beyond me. What's required is a change in direction and a change in energy. There can be an opening into something larger, more kindly, more boundless than the self mechanisms. We get beyond attachment to the ups and downs of our personality, beyond attachment to systems and techniques of the Dhamma, and we get clear of the doubt that measuring Dhamma in these terms will always bring us. As we move past these inevitable attachments, we become spacious and at peace. Sometimes you need a big emotional wave to get the process going, and you may need to take some significant risk or conduct some significant behavioral experiment that shakes up the self system. As part of how I think retreat works, is that it creates conditions for huge, big, or sometimes huge emotional events, often unpleasant. But the force of all of that emotion then is becomes channeled towards goodness. And the silence of practice, of solitude, of retreat practice induces a measure of chaos in the self system. And in that kind of fluid, chaotic soup, the kind of emergence of a very different self view becomes possible. Find your gateway into deep feeling. For me, the entryway to love, is usually something like mortality, like in order for me to really sense the necessity of love, I need to palpably know that we're living in the, the briefest interlude between the two halves of time. And so find that gateway of deep feeling, whatever the feeling is, and then you kind of stitch that feeling to care for yourself. So it's what came to me. Hope it's of some use to you. Okay, folks, thank you all. I'll be away next week. We'll start back the following week, and yeah, appreciate our time together. Maybe I'll see some of you in the streets this weekend. Some protest or other. Probably just be kind of on the periphery crying, my usual spot at these events. Anyway, sending, sending my love.